Today's reading is coming from John chapter 4, verses 4 to 30, and then 39 to 42. But he had to go through Samaria, so he came to the Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given him to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman from Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, good morning. Good morning. I give thanks to God again for this opportunity to minister to you, and for all of us in this place to continue building the bridges which actually makes our life together and life with our families and friends, with other community members, to be what God wants it to be. When I was growing up, one of the ways in which guys used to pursue us was to either draw a line on the sand or on the soil, or just put a stick like this, and they will say, "If you love me, you're going to cross this line." In other words, what they meant is, in order for you to be able to love me, there is a boundary, there is a bridge that needs to be built in order to get to the other side. So we knew. Also, on Friday, whenever we knew that there were two guys, more especially when it was girls, who we knew, it's Friday today, they're going to fight. This is one of the other things they would use to provoke each other, to say, if you cross this line, you've entered my territory. So it was used as a symbol of leaving your place and joining the other person's place. And our current sermon telling what's your story is all about that, saying, yes, I know that this is where I belong, this is where she belongs, this is who I am, this is who he is. But what's your story is actually about acknowledging that, but saying, let me cross this line. Let me go to her. Let me go to him. I know we are different, but let me do this. So that is what this sermon series is about, going out to listen to each other's stories. And who knows, by listening to other people's stories, we can actually discover that there is more that connects us than what divides us. But there is an initiative that needs to be taken for us to even discover that. So to successfully love God and love God's people, there are some biblical mandates that we need to follow, and that is reconciling people to God and our reconciliation with each other. And for reconciliation to happen, it calls for us to become bridge builders in this fractured world and to partner with God in God's healing ways in the world. To become bridge builders, partner with God in God's healing ways in God's world. And today's topic is building relational bridges. Building relational bridges. And I'm sure that as I say this, already you and I, we know the people we need to reconcile with. I know a person for whom I need to build a bridge. I know the relationships, either within families or circle of friends or community or in the church or my colleagues, that needs to be resuscitated. There is a broken bridge that God is calling us to rebuild, and that's a topic for today. John 4 is a story of Jesus and his disciples as they were en route from Judea to Galilee. But they are going by the way of Samaria. Samaria is that area which the Jews will refuse any contact with. The Jews, they refused every contact with the Samaritans. In fact, their desire to avoid contact with Samaritan was so great that they were prepared to travel twice a distance just so that they avoid contact with the Samaritans. Have you ever held a grudge against a person that you did everything in your power to avoid that person, even if it means walking twice a distance, just as long as you're not going to see him? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You're the one who gets tired because that other person doesn't even know that you're avoiding her. Imagine you're coming from the main church. Your plan is to come this side. And as you come this side, you say, oh, there's this person. You have to go back and go via the hall. And that is what the Jews did. They traveled twice the distance just to avoid the Samaritans. They were not ready to build the bridges that takes them from where they are straight to Samaria. And so they will cross the Jordan somewhere in Judea before crossing again to Galilee. That's how rough things were. The hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans, imagine, it dated back to the times of the Old Testament when the Assyrians had settled non-Jews in their area. When the Assyrians allowed the non-Jews into intermarriages with the local Israelites. And the babies who were born as a result of coming together of the non-Jews and the Israelites, they were called the second-class people who should be avoided for their moral reasons. Maybe you know this, where when in your family you're not in good terms, and if you try to figure out what's the reason they are not in good terms, it's because my grandmother, who's no longer even alive. And so the reason is the Old Testament reason before the birth of Jesus. Maybe that was 500 years ago. But the Jews are still holding that we and the Samaritans, these are half-breeds. These are not normal people. And so they did everything to avoid them. It is under these conditions that Jesus greets a Samaritan woman. Even the Samaritan is surprised. She is shocked. How am I being greeted by a Jew? Not to mention that he is a man. And Jesus builds this relational bridge. He knows the history, but he builds this bridge. He clears away the obstacles. Because building relational bridges calls us to clear away the obstacles. The dividing line between Jesus and this Samaritan woman was a stake. It was this great. As a Jewish male, Jesus here is in a position of advantage as a Jewish male. But as a thirsty sojourner, he is in a disadvantage. Being a male and a Jew, it puts him in the place of advantage. But being thirsty in a foreign land, it puts him in a disadvantage. So he approaches this woman with humility. He reaches this woman on her level, the level of being a Samaritan, the level of being a woman, a level of being a half-breed. Jesus reaches her on her level. He builds a bridge. And remember that he's not revealing yet that he is God. He's not revealed that yet. He goes to this woman as a normal human being. He's not saying, by the way, I am God. It's given. I must make a relationship. No, as a normal human being. Because people must know, they must feel when they hear later that you are a Christian, that then they say, no wonder he likes building bridges. They know you as a normal human being. They receive you as a normal human being, and then later they hear that Londega is a Mfundisi. Then they say, oh, no wonder she likes building bridges. Jesus is not saying, I am God, I am the Messiah, but he goes to the level of this woman. He goes to the level of this Samaritan. He built the bridges already. He starts by wanting to understand her story. Before he says, I am the one you've been waiting for, he begins by understanding the pain and the tears of this woman. He goes to hear what her story is, making it possible to talk across her difference. There are differences, but the first thing Jesus did is to understand her story. And by understanding her story, Jesus is inventing a new direction of future. We are enemies. He said, you, it's a Samaritan, but once I listen to your story, there is a possibility of a new direction. Our future is going to take a different direction. By the time Jesus left Sychar, they were no longer enemies because the woman goes out to see, can it be a Messiah? The direction of their future was changed. And it began by Jesus being willing to listen to the story of this woman. I want us to pause and have a short conversation. Which obstacles, which dividing lines do you find easier to clear? And which one do you find more challenging to clear? With whom are you feeling called to build a bridge? How are you going to do this? Let's begin with the first one, where we acknowledge that I find it very difficult to divide, to actually deal with this obstacle. Which obstacle or a dividing line do you find easier or difficult to clear? Which one do you find very challenging to clear? And after that, with whom are you being called to build a bridge? Let's take 2 to 3 minutes and have that short conversation. Remember, who knows? Whatever you're going to share, maybe you're going to share it with a person who's going to say, I used to have that problem, and this is how I dealt with it. Let's take 2 to 3 minutes. Let's talk 2 by 2. Hi. Let's come back. I don't know why I chose Val. I really don't know why I chose Val, because Val enjoys sitting on the floor and I like the chairs. But that's one of the ways of building the bridges. I went and sat down the way she enjoys. That's one of the ways. And so both Jesus and this Samaritan woman, they are embedded in 2 different ethnic groups and 2 different religions. That is why Jesus says the 5 husbands and even the one you have, it's not yours, because it's different religions. And this Samaritan, who has been under so many kingdoms led by different kings, the 5 husbands, they are not literally that one, that guy, that guy, that guy. But Jesus says, you have worshipped so many gods, even the one you worship is not the real God. So they are both from different ethnic group and different religions, just like we are, from different races, from different countries, from different ethnic groups with different backgrounds. But again, there is a stigma. I don't even want to say at the back of this woman that she's had 5 husbands. I think even as she looked at Jesus, even as she had the conversation, the reason why she is here at noon, even as a Peter Maritzburg girl, we don't go to fetch water at 12 o'clock. We don't. We don't. The first thing we think about in the morning, 6 o'clock, go and have water before the sun rises. She is here at noon. Where are the other girls? They don't want to mingle with this lady because she has got a stigma. But Jesus says, if you knew that the water I will give to you, if you take them, you will never be thirsty again. So the one who's been made to feel like an outcast, Jesus says, I actually want to be your friend. I want to change the direction of your future. And Jesus reaches out. Take a real interest in the Samaritan story. She takes a real interest at her story. How many people actually want to come and share their story and be actually not interested? Sometimes they're not even asking for help. They just want you to listen. They just want me to listen. And I feel don't even want to stop and listen to what you have to say. And by engaging this woman, Jesus actually created a space. He creates a space for dialogue around complex and uncomfortable, deeply pressing issues. Jesus creates a space for her. And this is the best way of building bridges, spending time understanding each other's stories. Spending time understanding each other's stories, no matter how much we differ. But how do we do this? By listening. Still the voice inside of ourselves so that I can listen to her story. Respect. Recognize that everyone has got something to teach us. Everyone has got something to teach us, no matter how different they are from us, no matter how young, no matter how old they are. Let go of our need to be right. Engage with curiosity and be willing to be influenced. Speak authentically with integrity, finding our own authority without needing to dominate. As a leader, as a minister, I think that's one of the things as leaders we want to dominate. As a preacher, I cannot sit and listen to a congregation member preaching because I'm the one who went to the seminary. But this one calls us to one day be the one who sits down and listen. If we are having a conversation, have that conversation without wanting to dominate. That's the way of building the bridges. That's the way of building the bridge. When a person leaves the space saying, I was listened to, although they didn't give me answers, but they gave me their ear. And so these are the steps. Listen, respect. Go back again. Listen, respect, suspend, and listen or speak authentically. Your voice is very important. And so these are the four steps. Which of the four steps above, listen, respect, suspend, and speak authentically, comes easier for you? Which one is easier of those? And where are you feeling called to create safe spaces or deepen the safety of existing space? How are you going to do that? But let's start by acknowledging between listening, respecting, suspending, that to say my domination, me who I am, let me forget about that for a bit, and actually speaking authentically. Which one of these comes easier for you? Let's not talk about which one is difficult or hard. No, forget about that. But which of these four is easier for you? Do you find it easy to a person who's speaking a foreign language to you, saying something to you you're not willing and ready to hear? Do you find it easy to respect other people regardless of their differences or how you differ? Is it easy for you to suspend just for a bit? Is it easy for you to let go of your need to be right? Is it easy for you to do that? And the last one, do you speak authentically, finding your own authority without needing to dominate? Which one is easy? I think 1 minute will be enough. Yeah. If we don't want to have a conversation, you can say wherever you are that for me it's easy to listen. We're not going to give you a follow-up questions, don't worry. What if none of these are easy? That also is important. Yeah, so for me, the first two, they are easy. To still the noise inside myself and be able to listen to what another person has to say, that's very easy. Respect, recognize that everyone has got something to teach me, that's easy to do. This one also is very easy. Let me pray, and this is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for all of us, each member's personal growth in areas of bridge building. There is something that we're already doing, we are trying, but there is a growth that is needed as we try to bridge the builders, to build the bridges.